Mae Roberts Stage and Studio. You're listening to music from Northwest musician Molly Baucom. Find her music at harpmolly.com. Today I'm featuring two events for this post-Valentine's Day weekend. I welcome back authors Lori L. Lake and Sandra DeHellen about their upcoming event, Literary Lesbians Readings of Rapturous Romance. That's alliteration. Lesbian authors from the Northwest and beyond will celebrate books and readings on February 18th at 3 p.m. at Tabor Space in Portland. And in the last part of the show, Shawnee Harris Bagwell tells us about the reading she's directing of The Vagina Monologue, starring women of color, on February 17th at 3 p.m. as a benefit for Raphael House. Stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts. With me in the KABU studio are authors Lori L. Lake. Welcome back.
Hi.
And Sandra DeHellen. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you here on Stage and Studio. Now, last year, I think that was probably the first literary lesbian event, wasn't it? For Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So you're all featured in the second one, which is the Readings of Rapturous Romance and Book Fair this Sunday at 3 to 5 p.m. at Tabor Space in Portland. But before we get to that, Lori, I wanted to talk to you about your book. It took me a while to read it because you gave me that book when we were here last year. And I finished it a few months ago, Snow mm-hmm. Moon Rising. People remember that title, Snow Moon Rising. I'm still thinking about this epic story about a young Roma woman who is captured by Nazis and survived a concentration camp during World War II. And it's the story spans several generations, mm-hmm. and it's told through the Roma viewpoint and also the lesbian viewpoint at mm-hmm. that time. So would you tell me about the inspiration for that book?
I had a dream. I dreamed about it. I don't know where it came from, this older woman. It was like she came to me in a dream and said, tell my story. And I was kind of haunted by her, and I started doing studying and reading various books, and there aren't that many books about the Roma that actually give an accurate description of them, and I have no idea why she was going to be a gypsy woman. I don't know. I just kept dreaming about her. So I started writing this, and it was kind of transformative in a lot of ways. And I remember at the time, my mom was dying. So some of that sense of sadness, but also of the completion of a life and the idea of a whole lifespan of a family, that crept into it as well.
And the need to tell hidden histories.
Yes.
That's a very, very strong theme in this book, because it starts off with actually storytelling from an older perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it goes through the entire story. And Roma gypsies are not written much about. And the term gypsy is actually, not cool right now. But the Romas are people that started mm-hmm. off in Romania, right? Or
it's hard for people to decide exactly where they originated.
But they were traveling, migratory.
Yes, definitely.
People. And they traveled in caravans throughout all of Europe.
And what was interesting about that is Hollywood fantasized and, did all their...
And distorted and made it a stereotype.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there were troops of the Roma who were very moral, and they had a set of rules and regulations that they imposed upon themselves. And then there's the idea that, we come to town and we do the gypsy fortune telling and
right.
we dance and...
Well, they performed. They were performers a lot
gypsies,
of times for money.
And thieves.
Yeah, which is also the stereotype that definitely the Roma want to dispel.
Yeah.
But this book has no stereotypes in it. It was told through a lot of deep research. Now, I take it this didn't have anything to do with your family background.
No, it didn't, which was surprising to me because I've scoured through my background trying to figure out where did this come? Is this from a collective?
Where did this affinity come from?
Yeah, I don't know where, but sometimes these kinds of things happen. You get a hold of a little bit of a story, and it's like a quilt that, or a tapestry that you pull one little thread and then a bunch of other threads come through. So,
well, it seems that Snow Moon Rising is more personal in that respect, even though it's not based on your life. It's more of a departure, too, from the mysteries and romances that the series that you are known for. Yeah. How much research did this take for you? It's so well researched.
Well, I had 20,000 pages of downloaded stuff that I read off the internet. Plus, I looked for phrases and sayings that would be in their language that I could utilize. And I read, there was only 12 books at the time that really covered the Roma experience with any effectiveness. I also saw the at the Holocaust Center, they have a Roma display there.
They do. Okay.
Yeah, so I went and I looked at that, and I started that book out with the idea that so many books that talk about the Holocaust, you don't know what's going to happen, and everyone dies at the end. And I started this book in 1989. It opens in 1989 when my character is a very old woman. and I did that because I wanted the reader to know that she survived. But then what I've been told over time is that every step of the way through this book, you wonder, is she going to survive?
Well, you do.
Kind of like Apollo 13, where I remember, I lived through this. I know these guys survived, but oh, you're sitting on the edge of
your
seat.
But you're not quite sure.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to also your mystery writing, too, because there's that mystery.
It is a great big
who's
mystery.
Who's talking, you know, at the beginning of your book, right?
And I told that story from three points of view, from the two women, and then from the point of view of Emil Stanek, who is the World War I, he kind of was a deserter, and he's the brother of one of the main characters. And I loved his character, and I loved how he fit into the troop and the things that happened with him. That was really fun to write. I like writing male points of view at times.
Well, you did a masterful job of creating this story, and it's also a story about romantic love,
Thank you,
between two women during a horrific time in history. And I'm sure it wasn't like the kind of fun research, you know, but it seemed like, you know, you put everything that you had in, you know, that you had read into this book and told a really moving story.
The history was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there isn't much written about lesbians during World War II either.
Well, and that's very underplayed. I've had a lot of people say, well, this isn't really a lesbian novel, but it has a lesbian sensibility to it. And when I was done and about a year had passed, suddenly I realized, oh, Mishka, the main character, she's got a lot more in common with me than I thought. She's in a patriarchal society. She grows up a tomboy. She doesn't want to deal with the conventions of the Roma. And she's not particularly attracted to the men. She doesn't just want to have children. She's very good with languages. She wants to be something that there's no model for her to follow. There was no trailblazer that she could walk behind and just make a path. She had to make her own path the hard way. And it reminds me a little of me with the family stuff and trying to deal with having same-sex relationships. And I thought Mishka did a better job in some ways than I did.
It was very well done, and the romance was told in such a way that was so moving, you know,
oh,
this awakening
you.
That she had, you know, for something that she really didn't know what she was feeling at the time, you know. Sandra, what did you think of Snow Moon Rising? Because I remember you telling me, that's a good book.
I did. I did. It's one of my favorite books of Lori's, maybe my favorite. It's so well done, and you mentioned that the research goes into it, but when you're reading it, that's not what you're thinking about. You don't think about the research. You just think you're there and keep turning the pages. It's she does have that the ability to write suspense and create suspense even in a romantic literary
in historical novel.
Yes,
I mean, it really
absolutely.
Is a literary fiction.
Yes,
that's how
it
I
is.
Would term it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know the topic of fascism and persecution, unfortunately, is even more topical these days.
Absolutely.
You know, so it definitely is current.
Yeah.
For good or ill. You know. Are you working on a new book right now?
I'm working on an adventure. It's about a young woman who ends up in an anger management outdoor wilderness course and everything goes wrong.
Sounds like a comedy.
It has some comedic moments, but it's also serious too. You've got to have a little bit of both.
Yeah, anger is a big topic. It's certainly something that I could explore more. You're listening to Stage and Studio, says my hubby. Okay. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. My guests are Lori L. Lake and Sandra DeHellen, who are featured in this event, Readings of Rapturous Romance and Book Fair, this Sunday at 3 to 5 p.m. at Tabor Space in Portland. And that's located at 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. And I have links to the event as well as Lori's and Sandra's websites at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Let's talk about the event. I mean, how many authors are coming to Portland for this year for this book fair, do you think?
Or how many? The authors, I think we have 8 people to read, plus Linda Vogt doing the MC.
MC and throughout the whole event. And she's funny?
She's funny, and she's got a really good, patient way of being an MC. She's great.
And so how many women, I guess, do you know how many attended last year or how many folks
we
attended?
We had about 50 to 60 people.
Okay. It's building. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we had 70.
Yeah, maybe we did have 70.
A lot of people are going to come to see Linda Vogt.
Tell us about her.
Well, she's a mystery writer herself, and she's more of an extrovert than a lot of us writers are. So she has lots of friends and lots of different activities and hobbies, but she really understands writers and mm-hmm. does her homework.
So she's been the producer for the Motherlode troupe, right. The Motherlode band for, I don't know, 3 decades, something
like
that.
Yes, at least 30 years.
She's good at wrangling.
I'm not sure what the Motherlode band is.
Motherlode Trio.
It's a music uh-huh. group. And it's a good group of women who are just amazing.
You should have them on the show sometime.
Okay. Thank you for that recommendation. Well, so I would imagine this is a good way for lesbian writers to network as well and to talk about the craft of writing, at this event.
Well, especially since we have time before and after for mingling. We have some other authors coming just to
sell
bring
books,
their books,
right?
Sell books, and some authors give books away. We have a raffle that goes on. So every time somebody gets done reading, we raffle off a book or
nice.
Two.
Yeah.
And then we have a couple baskets as well. So somebody will end up with a great big basket full of books.
This is something you don't see at free events very often. There really are a lot of prizes, and it's
fun.
It's a very fun event.
And that's community bonding as well.
Yes, it is.
And you also have chocolate, as I understand.
We do. And we have no stairs this year. It's completely accessible.
Oh, okay.
You could roll right in there.
All right.
In fact, one of our readers is
a wheelchair user.
Physically challenged, mm-hmm. uh-huh. So mm-hmm. G.L. Morrison will come and read some poetry, and she'll just be able to roll right into the building.
It's going to be fun to hear her read, too.
All right. Well, that's this Sunday at 3 to 5 p.m. I'm going to give that info again later. But Sandra, DeHellen, I've had the fortune to read your books, including the Shirley Combs and Dr. Watson books, which are a twist on Sherlock Holmes stories, as well as your thriller, All That Remains. But I understand you're working on a new book that's about to be published. Punished.
Punished. It will be punished.
I'm thinking ahead. Tell us about do you want to talk about that project, or is that not good right now?
Yes, Launch Point Press, which Lori is the publisher, is publishing a big new collection of my poetry, and that's coming soon. It's called Desire Returns for a Visit, and there will be further collections down the road. So that's exciting for me. I'm now spending most of my time writing, working on poetry or playwriting, which is another one of my loves.
Mm-hmm. So I understand also that you have some poems here that you could read.
I have a couple. Is this a good time?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, the first one of the things that I've done is I've written a number of poems in response or reaction to poems by Emily Dickinson. I'm not going to read one of those on Sunday because it takes me too long to talk about it. but this one is called A Lover's Rhyme, Steadfast Honey. The first part is by Emily Dickinson. Staring, bewildered at the mocking sky, homesick for steadfast honey. Ah, the bee flies, not that brews that rare variety. And this is my response. My honey brings me toast and jam and brews my special tea. My honey sits tight by my side and reads out loud to me. My honey loves no other one, nor do I spread my wings. We are each other's only love. We strum our own heart strings.
Oh, are you going to read that one?
I'm not.
Aw, okay.
But I am going to read this one. This is the title of the book. Desire Returns for Visit. Desire lies dormant like bulbs under a mantle of winter, waiting only for spring to awaken her. It isn't spring that rings. It is the sound of your voice after a new haircut, a laugh as you remind me of bristles awaiting my hand at your collar, or a waft of your fresh soap smell as you exit the shower, your towel barely stretched across the expanse of your breasts, your curly V exposed to my wandering eyes, as I drop my own clothes in a heap at your damp feet and dash into the water to ready myself for your attentions. Desire is wide awake in my hands, my mouth, my own breasts and limbs as they tingle with sure knowledge of what lies ahead. No dark mystery awaits us, only joyful delights in coming home to play.
That's lovely, Sandra. Thank you for reading that. You know, I've missed you being in Portland. I'm sure a lot of people have missed you being in Portland, but it seems like you've connected well with the San Diego writing community.
I have. As you know, I went down there for my health, and it's been really good in that aspect. The first thing I did when I went there was Google to see what groups might be available to read new plays, and I found a group called the Script Teasers. The Script Teasers have been meeting 70 years, twice a month.
Wow.
And to read new work, the group consists of actors and writers and other people who are interested in that work.
Is it a theater group then?
No, it's a group that exists solely
just for writing.
Just for writing, and they've read several of my plays since I've been there. And this year, they invited me to join them, so I'm their newest member. And I will have a play in the 70th anniversary showcase, which is coming up May 4th.
Congratulations on that. You've really settled in well there, and that's a great name for a group. Maybe there should be a Portland branch. Well, I was wondering, too, in the time remaining, we don't have a lot of time, but I'm just wondering how the Me Too movement, this is a big topic, but if you can have like maybe one or two thoughts about how the Me Too movement has affected the lesbian community, because a lot of discussions are not generally, you know, from the vantage point of lesbian women.
Well, I have to say for me, it brought back a lot of memories of being younger and recognizing that I have been sexually harassed. And I have actually been sexually harassed by people accusing me of sexual harassment, which I never did. It's, I think for a lot of women, we sort of don't want to even think about it. I mean, we're lesbians, we're more attuned to women most of the time than men. And I don't know that I've ever been sexually harassed by a woman. I can't think of that. But men have been very inappropriate at times. And so it's strange to think, I could actually say me too as well, but it seems like my experiences are minor compared to some of the experiences women are having now, so I guess I discount that. But then I look back and think, wow, a couple of those events had major effects on me.
Yeah, it's, well, historically, it's good to go back and see, you know, what you experienced.
Sandra? I had plenty of Me Too moments, but what I'm most excited about is that this movement is an actual threat to the patriarchy. And Steve Bannon said, you know, we're about to erase thousands of years of written history. And
hooray.
Yay. I hope that's true. I hope it is true. I hope that what we have, what we end up is with a world in which all people can respect all other people.
And we're not going to erase the history.
No.
We're going to add the part of the history that's been omitted.
Correct. Thank you for correcting that.
No, I'm not correcting you. You're right on track.
No, it is true. It's true, though. I mean, you can't erase the history, but you can move forward into a new world, and I think that's what we're doing.
And a better understanding of how people should behave to respect one another.
Exactly.
Well, it's an interesting discussion to keep having, and I hope that it doesn't end, you know, because this is just the beginning, because there are so many vantage points that have not been addressed, I think, you know, for women of color, for the lesbian community especially, and, you know, just even with disability, you know, there's just a lot of, I guess, things that need to be unearthed.
Yes.
And addressed.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, the literary lesbian community will be celebrating love and romance at the event this Sunday, 3 p.m. at Tabor Space. And you'll get books given away at book fair, everything. And it's located at Tabor Space at 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. And for more info, go to Readings of Rapturous Romance Book Fair. You can go to stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. What will you both be reading at the event?
Well, I'm going to read more poems from Desire Returns for Visit.
And you, Laurie?
I'm not exactly sure yet what I'm going to read. I'm in the process of moving, so I've got to unearth some things.
So you're going to find whatever book.
Yeah, yeah.
You should read something from Snow Moon Rising, but it's probably too hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
I don't know. But I just love that book. So thank you both for being here, Laurie L. Lake and Sandra DeHellen. Thanks for joining me today. Have a great event this Sunday.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Up next, they talk with actor and director Shani Harris-Bagwell to talk about the vagina monologues that's being performed with women of color for Raphael House after this music break.
Cherish is a word I use to describe all the feeling that I have hiding here for you inside, hiding here for you inside. You don't know how many times I wish that I had told you. Times I wish that I could hold you. You don't know how many times I wish that I could mold you into someone who could cherish me as much as I cherish you.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, and we just heard Nina Simone, the great Nina Simone, singing Cherish. With me via phone is Shani Harris-Bagwell. Hello, Shani. Are you there?
Hello, I am.
Hey, nice to hear your voice. The Vagina Monologues by Eve Ensler was first performed in 1996 through humorous and dramatic monologues. The play looks at consensual and non-consensual sexual experiences and the lives of women. And you're directing a cast of women of color, and it's a benefit for Raphael House. What made you want to direct this play at this time in your life, Shani?
I thought it would be a great way to raise money for Raphael House, which is a center that focuses on domestic violence and has recently opened up its doors to men as well. So they offer just a wider range of programs, and I really wanted to support that. And this set of monologues is just always a great way to do that. And for the month of February, they allow us to perform them free as long as we are donating 90% to a local charity. And then 10% goes back to that same spotlight monologue that allows us to do these.
You know, I was just wondering about the impact of vagina monologues on your life and why you wanted to direct it with a cast of women of color.
I think because when I first saw it, I was lucky enough to have seen women of color perform it. And the more I talked to other women of color who had never seen the show, what had kept them from seeing the show was they just kind of thought it was, you know, like Sex in the City and just a bunch of white ladies talking about their business. And I really wanted to show them that that was not the case at all, that these are our stories as well. You know, these are our stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of hard-hitting stories as well as funny stories, but they're very, you know, it runs the gamut, and it's very powerful work. And quite often, though, the image of the vagina monologues is about kind of Sex in the City, you know, so you're dispelling that myth. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is not that at all. You know, these are stories that we all can relate to, you know, and that at this time, especially when we're starting to just call out all of the patriarchy.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, the Me Too movement and how, you know, how pertinent it is. It seems like it speaks even more strongly after all the awareness that has been being unearthed, you know, in recent times.
Mm-hmm. It does. I think it does. And, you know, she's always, Eve Ensler is always adding to it. And there's, you know, new monologues that have been added in, including trans women and childbirth. And, you know, it's a constantly evolving piece.
Oh, I didn't realize that she kept adding. Yeah, that she kept working on it.
Yes, it's a constantly evolving piece. And I think that that's really important to show, you know, to show all of these stories, and especially at this time.
Well, do you want to, especially at this time, yeah, do you want to highlight some of the actors in the show?
Yes, I have an amazing cast of actors. Oh, I hope I do not forget anyone's name, because I forgot my iPad. I'm actually in a daycare right now picking up a young child.
There's women's work right there. Yeah, there you go.
It really
the
is.
Life of an actress, yeah, and a director. So, some of the folks that I know are like Shelley,
Matthews,
yeah,
to be in it, and
Tamara Lynn, and
Tamara Lynn, and
Melissa Magana
White, yes, Melissa Magana, and Nikita Johnson. Oh, yes, I believe.
And Shireen, I think Jacobs is in it too.
Yes, Shireen Jacobs is going to be in it. And Carly is going to be in it. And
there's just so many great women. Now, see,
I'm really excited.
90% of the proceeds are going to go to Raphael House. And I've always known it as an organization for years as a place to provide a safe haven.
Oh, yeah. From Norja Taylor is going to be in it.
Oh, okay. But Raphael House provides a safe haven for domestic, for women, you know, going through domestic violence. And men, too. Okay.
Men now.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to also talk about the sponsorship from your sorority, the Portland Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority?
Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Yeah.
Yes. So the Portland Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I am the Arts and Letters Chair, and that provides me excellent opportunities to partner with different organizations in the community to bring different arts and letters works, you know, all kinds of book tours and all kinds of things, movie goings. And so this was just another opportunity to partner with a community of a huge community organization and do the work that Deltas do.
The Portland Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated presents the Vagina Monologues by Eve Ensler and directed by Shani Harris Bagwell. The event includes a silent auction, stage reading, followed by a talk back, and it's this Saturday at 3 p.m. And what's the location? Would you tell us the location?
Yes, the location is at the June Key Delta Community Center.
And that's located at?
That is located at on Albina and Ainsworth, just across the street from the Rose Garden.
And
on the corner.
I have the address at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And you can get tickets to this event at brownpapertickets.com. Shani Harris Bagwell, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
You take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Judy Feistel. I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio, as well as the podcast on iTunes. Also like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts.